Appreciate our music tonight. Always appreciate our music. We're going to get the pulpit to Brother Gary early and give him a little time with his boys. And we appreciate them coming tonight. New Beginnings Boys Home in La Russell, Missouri. And again, I had the opportunity, me and Brother Wiggins, to go up and preach a revival meeting for them here a few weeks ago. And some of y'all remember that. I came back and talked about it. And what a blessing it was to get to see the facilities and get to see the... They have a girls' home and a boys' home. And to see the girls. And I'm sorry, guys, but the girls... For one thing, the girls have their own CDs back there on the table, but the guys have no singing CDs. And that's just tells me that there's a reason for that. Is there a reason for it? Y'all want to testify? No. We're going to enjoy their singing. I got to hear the guys sing at the boys' home as well. We look forward to that. And they do have a table in the back. I promise you those girls will be a blessing to you if you want to get one of those CDs. And Brother Gary, you come on. Brother Wiggins, brother.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. I'm the older one. I'm the better half, as my mom says. I'm the more favorable, as she says, anyway. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. It's good to be here. As you said, me and my wife, Megan's right here, have little Levi. We run a boys' home in La Russell, Missouri. And I said, Brother Crawford and my brother was just up there back in March. And had a real good time. Sure did. Right now we have 21 boys. And the boys' home has really grown over the last, year or so. It's really picked up. 21 boys. I brought, I guess you'd say, the cream of the crop. I got 12 of them with me. And I'll have them come up here and sing in just a minute and give a few testimonies. Before they do, I can give you just a brief presentation on the home. Again, we're located in La Russell, Missouri. That's close to Joplin. I know most people have never heard of La Russell. Joplin's where the tornado come through at a year ago. Actually, we was in church when the tornado hit. And so our church is right in Joplin. We was about 7 miles from the tornado. And at New Beginnings, we get teenagers from 12 years old up to 18. They come from all over the United States, some from different parts of the world, Colombia, different places down south. And they come, they're troubled teens, they come to the home. And what we do there is we teach them Bible, but not only that, we teach them how to work. We teach them how to work, we teach them how to have responsibility, how to have character, on and on and on. A lot of them are just rebellious. And so we work with them on a daily basis, and also we do our own school there. On the property, we have our own school building. We do ACE schooling Monday through Friday, usually about 8 o'clock, from 8 to about 3 o'clock in the evening. We have school, and then after that, it's work. It's work. They got to see, we do turkey houses now. That's one of our main jobs. And I think y'all went by there and I showed y'all the turkey houses. We have 19 turkey houses that we do after school, after they get out of school. And what we do is we go in there and just change out the water. They have a big water, pot in there, and we go dump it out, clean it out, put new water in there, check for leaks or anything in the water lines. And it takes us usually about 2 hours a day. And, really, it's just to teach these boys to work. A guy come to us, he knew we had a boys' home, and asked would he be interested. He does support the ministry some, but really it's about, you know, just giving these boys something to do to work. If you look back there on the display board, we also do a lot of wood. You'll see some of the boys in the pictures back there were cutting wood. We do that. We sell it for real. I was talking to a guy this morning. Pastor at the other church, and I told him what we sold the wood for, and he said, "Man, that is cheap." But really, what it's about is just it's just about the work. Now, the little bit we do sell it for does help support the ministry, but it's more about these boys working, and they actually like doing it. They love getting out and splitting wood. I like watching them, but that's about as far as I go. I can't do it no more. My back, and I just can't. I can watch them. I get tired of watching them. So they get a lot of work in, and then they get a lot of preaching. Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesday, and Thursday, we have church there at the property. We have different preachers come in on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday nights. And then Wednesday night we have our service there. And then we do have a church. We have our local church. And we go there on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Some of you may ask, well, why don't you go there on Wednesday night? Well, it's just the way gas is. It's so expensive. It's just and it's 21 boys plus the girls home. So you're talking four or five vans, and our church is about 30 miles away, and it really costs a lot. So usually Wednesday night we have service there at the home, and we have a good service there. We really do. There where y'all preached at the girls home, and then usually on Friday. Well, you know, yeah, we have that on Monday through Thursday, and then Friday we have Friday fun night. And what we do is these boys, the ones that's been doing real good all during the week, and let them have Friday fun night. Usually grill out some hamburgers, hot dogs or something. And then they can play volleyball, football, basketball, board games. Just have a good time. And so that's what we usually do on a Friday evening. And then Saturday, of course, is back to work. We usually spend time in the turkey houses. We also have cows. We have about 60 or 80 head of cow, and so we spend a lot of time, you know, fixing fences, really, because they're always getting out, and so we're always fixing fences. And then in between that, we do a lot of grass cutting. We have a lot of yards to mow up there, and also we grow our own green beans. We try to grow all our last year we tried to grow green beans and corn, but it just didn't seem to work out. The corn did, and it was real dry. I think it was real dry here too, and so the corn. But the Lord's blessed us with the green beans, and that's the main thing. So we can them up and, you know, eat on them throughout the year. As a matter of fact, the guy that owns the turkey house is supposed to be giving us some corn this year, pretty good bit. So that's a big blessing, and we'll can it up and eat it all out through the year. That's good. And then Sunday, like I said, we go to our local church on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Then Monday it's back to school and back to routine. So we have a routine, and these boys stay busy. You know, it's pretty much school, work, preaching, bedtime. You know, that's pretty much what a day there is. Again, this is about 12 of them. I got one. Well, there's 11 boys, and one of them's a staff member. It helps me out. And Josh, Brother Josh Kenner, and he come up from Arkansas to help out. He's a good boy. And he just come up here wanting to serve God. And he's been a real blessing. Y'all are our fifth church, I believe, sixth church. We got 14 churches that will be out. So y'all pray for us while we're out on the road. We'll be returning home on May the 7th. So y'all keep us in your prayers as we get out and present the ministry, and these boys get out and sing and give testimonies. And boys, if y'all want to come on up. Yeah, we don't have no boys CDs yet, but we are working on that. These boys actually don't sound, they sound pretty good, but we just really started going out on tour. Last year was our first tour, and everywhere we go, people say, well, I want the boys CD. So we're working on it. Maybe on the next tour we'll have some. So I'll get a few of them. Ricky, come up and give a testimony, please.
Hi, I'm Ricky Delgado. I'm 16 from California. And my parents, they raised me the best they could. When I was growing up, they're both gang and drug detectives, but I didn't want anything. What they were teaching me, how to live right. When I was 12 years old, was the first time I tried marijuana, and it just went really downhill as I got older. And as I was going into high school, I don't even know what was going through my head. I look back and all the things, the way I used to dress, the way, like, this is, I don't think anyone would ever imagine me seeing in this. It was just, and the Lord brought me a long ways, but sports was the only thing that was looking up for me. And I ruined that my freshman year. My second game, I got caught smoking after, and they kicked me off the team. My name was actually in the paper. Things were looking up for me, but they just didn't want me. And then I still finished that semester off with a 4.0. My second semester, I just went, my mom was going to give me a second chance. And I thought I'd do better, but I just was worse than I ever was. And started doing, trying more things and just getting down deeper and deeper and losing feelings, becoming numb. My mom crying didn't affect me, and she did everything she could, but it was just me. I didn't care about anything. And looking back, I regret all that because she did so much for me, but I just didn't care about any of it. And I got sent here June 23rd, got saved July 6th, two other boys, and I haven't been the same since. I'm a totally different person. If I talk to anyone on my visits, I talk to them on the phone, they if I talk about God, they're like, whoa, you're a different person. And they just totally different person, and I'm glad where God's brought me up out of. Yeah, I came a long way, and I still have a lot of things to work on, but I'm glad what he's done for me, and I'm really appreciative for it, and I'm glad to see the future that I have and the future that he's given me, new starts and a fresh start. And I'm going back home to a new private school, Christian school, got a new church, new city, so I'm glad what the Lord has in store for me. Thank you for your time.
Amen. Jaime.
I'm 16, I'm from Colombia, but I came to Miami about December 2010. I thought I was gonna be doing good in the school and everything, but since I was 11, my dad gave me the first beer of my life, and I got addicted to it, and started drinking and drinking every day, and kind of love it and everything. I was going to church and everything, but I never heard about getting saved and about going to hell if you're not saved. So I came to Miami in 2010, and I started getting worse and worse, just going to smoke and try my marijuana and cocaine, and I didn't want to listen to anybody, even my mom, even the cops, anything. I got arrested a couple of times. They drove me out of school. I had no opportunity to do anything in my life. I came here in the home about June 24th, and I got saved the same day that Ricky and Cody did, July 6th. Since the day, I remember the night, like, we just Brother Gary was preaching on hell, and I realized that I didn't want to go there and just be in forever there. And I realized, and I got saved on July 6th, and since then, my life has changed. The way that I talk to my mom, the way that I live is different. The way that I talk is just different. God is being good to me. He's given me so many blessings. Thank you.
Amen. One more. Cody, come up, please.
My name is Cody. I'm 15 years old. I'm from the state of Mississippi. I just want to praise God for and just taking the blind off that I had, that after God of this world, he had such a hold on me. But being raised up, my family, they did the best that they knew what to do, because we wasn't in church. Like the Bible says, the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. And that's exactly what was happening. I just praise God that He took me out of that darkness. He shined a light on me. He caught my attention one night, and it actually got me to thinking about death. And I had no clue where I'd spend eternity. I'd never thought about eternity, but I just praise God for sending me here. And looking back now I understand that it was all His plan from the beginning. I just praise God and His Son, Jesus Christ. He had all our sin on Him, all that guilt on Him. And we're the ones who put Him there on the cross. And I just praise God for Him seeing us. The Bible says He saw us see. He saw us 2,000 years ago. He knew that all of us needed a Savior, all of us. And I just praise God. And I know that that's what kept Him up there on Calvary. And I just praise God for this ministry, what it stands for, the blood of Jesus Christ and the King James Bible to stand on.
Amen. Yeah.
I just praise God I got this, my solid foundation, Jesus Christ. It's His Word. Amen. It's living. It's powerful. James 1:21, it's able to save your soul. And it did it. July 6th, I got saved the same day as Rick and Jaime did. Lord, He put a burden on on Brother Gary's heart preaching on hell, and we found out quick that was a place that we did not want to go. I praise God for the eternal blood of Jesus Christ to save me from it, save us from it.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, well.
Psalm 40:1-3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of my clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and set up my going, and yet put a new song in my mouth, giving praises to our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord.
Forever.
12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind, that you may prove as that good, and acceptable, and perfect will of God. I went to a church one lonely night, and I sat way back, for my soul was not right. The preacher was preaching how Jesus died for a sin-filled world. He gave up his life. Oh no, the old story will never grow old. How Jesus died to save my soul. Oh no, the old story will never grow old. That story will never grow old. I went to the altar and I knelt down in prayer. I cried, Lord, have mercy, and he pardoned me there. He lifted my burden, brought peace to my soul. What made my life new was that story so old. Oh no, the old story will never grow old. How Jesus died to save my soul. Oh no, the old story will never grow old. That story will never grow old. Many years have passed since I found the Lord. I remember that night that the story was told. Time has no hope of the message it brings. That story is old, but it still blesses me. Oh no, the old story will never grow old. How Jesus died to save my soul. Oh no, the old story will never grow old. That story will never grow old. That story will never grow old. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, that bring forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but like a shaft which wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Lord in heaven above, why you pick me to love, why you love me, I cannot understand. When I see others more worthy of Jesus than me, yet you love me as small as I am. Sometimes it's hard to walk in his footsteps. When I stumble, he understands. He picks me up, wipes off my sin, he puts me on my feet again, and he loves me as small as I am. Now I'm nobody special, I'm no ruler or king, this whole world doesn't know who I am, but Jesus walks right beside me, he fights my battles and he guides me, and he loves me as small as I am. Sometimes it's hard to walk in his footsteps. When I stumble, he understands. He picks me up, wipes off my sin. He puts me on my feet again, and he loves me as small as I am. He picks me up, wipes off my sin. He puts me on my feet again, and he loves me as small as I am. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence come my help? My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon the right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out, and thy coming in, from this time forth, and here forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Think they deserve a meal tonight? Yeah. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Had a message. I was on a different one. I was going to preach tonight. And the Lord was dealing with me not long before service on something else. So y'all pray for me. I'm going to try to tie in a testimony with a little bit of a message. So y'all pray for me. Philippians chapter 3. I'll read you one verse or two verses of scripture. Philippians chapter 3, look down at verse 13. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for what we've heard so far, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, I need your help tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray you'd use me, Lord. I pray you'd have me to step up to the side, Lord, and pray you'd use my voice, Lord. Use me as your microphone, Lord, to preach this message, Lord, to give this testimony, Lord. Lord, I'll be sure to give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Some of you may not know, I don't know if some of you have talked to my brother. I didn't get saved until late in life. I was 37 years old. I am 42 now. And I was 37. For 37 years, I struggled with drugs. I struggled with alcohol. It was always a priority to me over anything else. That was the life I lived. I know for 20 years, from the time I left home up until I got saved, my mom, let me just say this. My mom, she or my brother, for that matter, would not even stay at the house with me. And I don't blame them. I mean, I don't blame them because you never know what I would be doing, drinking, and they didn't really want to be around that. And maybe I didn't understand it then, but now I do. I understand, and now they'll stay with me. They won't stay with me all the time now. My mom wants to live with me, but no, I'm just kidding. But for 37 years, I struggled with that. And that was priority over anything. If you said mom or brother or grandmother or son or whatever, and you said alcohol, I chose alcohol. If you said drugs, I choose the drugs. 37 years, I battled with that. When I was about 30 or 31 years old, I found out I had cirrhosis of the liver at a young age from heavy drinking and heavy drugging. You think that would be enough to get your attention or get my attention, but it didn't. It didn't get my attention. I really just fell off further in it. Seemed like the harder I tried, the worse off I got, That was the way it worked. And I can remember that was about when I was about 30 or 31. And then about 36, I really got deep into it. And it was getting to the point to where, it was that all the time. That's all I wanted to do. And I can remember about 3 months before I got saved, I was out one night, and when I tell the story, I try not to be too graphic, so I'm trying my best. I had a varicose vein in my esophagus to bust, and I almost bled to death. And I didn't know what it was at the time that night. I did not know, exactly what was going on, and so I went to sleep. They said most people that go to sleep die in their sleep. Well, but the Lord had a different plan for me. And anyway, by the next day, I'd gotten really weak, and I was constantly losing blood. Finally, I went to the hospital, and when I got to the hospital, the hospital knew exactly what was wrong with me, and they called for a life flight. The life flight me to a bigger hospital. And I can remember my mom coming over there to the hospital where I was at. And I can remember sitting there, and I can remember my mom holding that thing that you vomit in. And I can remember holding it for me because I was so weak. And I can remember a tear coming down my eye. And I remember I started crying. And I never forget it. I remember her looking at me. And she said, "Son, what's wrong with you?" I didn't want to tell her the truth. The truth was, I knew I was fixing to die, and I knew I was going to bust hell wide open. It was becoming real to me. But instead, I told her, I said, Mom, I just don't feel good. So anyway, that went on. They got me to the hospital. They put some bands around me. I stayed in the hospital, I think, a couple of weeks there. And I got out. And, of course, I said to myself, I'm done. I'm done with the alcohol. I'm done with the drugs. And at the time, I lived in a motorhome of my brother's. And I was so weak. It was hard for me to walk from here to the wall. And I had to sit down. I felt dizzy. I felt like I was going to pass out. And I just kept going, and I kept going. And after, I think it was about 3 weeks, and I remember I finally got my strength back. And I was able to go outside, and I was able to get in the vehicle and move around more. And then I remember something happened. I remember the devil come by, and he tapped me on the shoulder. He says, "You ain't an alcoholic. You ain't a drug addict." He said, "You've been 3 weeks. You ain't had nothing to drink, or you ain't did a drug. An alcoholic has to have it every day." I said, "You know what? You might be right. Maybe I'm not what everybody says I am. Maybe I'm not that bad of a person. Maybe I'm not an alcoholic. You deserve a drink. One drink ain't going to hurt you anyway." You know, that's what I thought. One drink, I had a problem. I was drinking real heavy. Just one ain't going to hurt. Yeah, you deserve. Why don't you go to the store and get you one? You know what I did? That's what I did. I went to the store and I got one. Well, let me tell you this. If anybody's ever battled with drugs or alcohol, you never start over. You pick up where you left off. I don't care how many years or what, months, weeks, days. You start back. You just pick up where you left off at. And that's what happened to me. I didn't just start over again. I just picked right back up where I left. By that night, I was right back in the shape I was in before all that had happened. And I remember feeling so bad. But the worse I felt, the more I wanted to drink. Because I thought, you know, you're a failure. You're a failure. You have failed. You have failed your brother. You have failed your mom. You failed your grandmother. You failed everybody. Just forget it. And that's what I felt like. So then I become even worse. And I can remember that went on, and I'm just giving you an approximate day. That I think it might have been a week. It might have been 2 weeks. It was somewhere around in there. I remember I got up one morning and I really felt that was going to be the day that I was going to die. I wrote some letters out. I wrote 3 letters out to 3 people that were real close to me. I wrote them letters. And I wasn't planning on living, really. And I remember I got in my vehicle and I rode around that day. And I rode and I rode and I rode. And I remember it got to be late in that evening, about 6:30 in the evening, maybe a little later. And somehow, I know it was the Lord. I ended up, I come by where my grandparents were buried at, on my dad's side. And something just told me to turn in there. So I turn in there and I go up to their grave and the flowers are, you know, falling over. And I pick them up and straighten things up. And it hit me. I remember I looked at my granddaddy's grave there, and I thought, I'm fixing to go there. I'm fixing to be in the grave. I said, but I knew my granddaddy was in heaven. I said, but man, he's in heaven. I'm not going to see him. I said, I'm fixing to die and go to hell. And man, that bothered me. That bothered me more than it ever had in 37 years. That bothered me that day. And I couldn't get that off my mind. I knew I was fixing to die. I knew I was within hours of dying. Really, I knew it. I remember as I left there, I remember I threw the bottle out the window I had, and I said, I'm done with this. I'm done. And I went home. And if I ain't mistaken, I called my brother. He was out here in Texas, and I called him. And I don't remember all what I told him, but I think I told him I needed to get saved. I was tired. I was sick and tired of the way I was living. And I remember him saying to call our cousin, which is a pastor back in Florida. And I called him, and he come down there. That night, he led me to the Lord. Amen. That night, he led me to the Lord in that motorhome. And let me say this. I ain't been the same since then. I hadn't been the same. I don't want to be the same. I can remember sitting there. I remember right after my cousin had left, I remember, man, y'all know how it is when you first get saved. I'm still that way. I'm still just tickled to death. But it was like a big burden had been taken off of me. And I was so happy. I mean, it was just like, you know, like you can just breathe now. And I knew I was saved. I knew then. I knew if I died right then, I knew I was going to heaven. I knew that without a shadow of a doubt. And I couldn't wait to call some people. And I remember there was three people. Two of them sitting in here now. The other one's going to be with the Lord. And there was three people, most three important people in my life at that time. And I wanted to call them. I don't remember what order I talked to them, but I remember talking to all three of them. And I said, I did it. I'm saved now. I am saved. And after I got through, like I said, I lived in a little motorhome. And I remember after I got through talking to them three, and I really couldn't think of anybody right offhand who else I wanted to call. But I was getting antsy, you know. I said, I want to tell somebody else. I want to tell somebody else. I remember I had a TV sitting there, so I turned the TV off. And I said, I want to just find some gospel music or something. I want to find something. I remember I was slipping through the channel there, and I come across it was Billy Graham Crusades. I didn't know no better. And I seen that, and at the bottom of that TV, it said, if you would like to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, call this number. Well, I'll call them. I called Billy Graham hotline. Some woman answered the phone. She said, sir, would you like to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today? No, ma'am. Done did that. She said, well, why are you calling? I said, I couldn't think of nobody else to call. I said, so I just wanted to call and tell y'all. She said, well, praise the Lord. I said, yeah, I do. I told her what happened. I said, yeah, I've been battling with this and that. And I said, well, my cousin just come down and led me to the Lord. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven now. And she's like, praise the Lord. She said, let me get your name and your number and your address. And I gave her all that. And till the time I left, I was still getting Billy Graham stuff. Man, they sent me all kind of stuff. I got Billy Graham CDs and tapes and everything else, newsletters. I tell you what, I probably would still be getting them if I lived there. But anyway, I wanted to share that with you. The best thing that ever happened to me. The best thing that ever happened to me. This verse, I like it. I count not myself to have apprehended, but there's one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That's what I did. After I got saved, forgot about that past. Forgot about all that. I started looking this way. I didn't want no more of that. Now, I'm not saying I didn't battle some things after I got saved. There were still some battles. And there will always be, I know. But I didn't want that life anymore. I was done with that life. The Bible says over in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, lay aside every weight and sin which does so easy beset you. That's what I had to do. I had to start laying aside some things. Could I do it all at one time? No. There were some things that I had to deal with. I had to deal with this. And I had to deal with this. And I had to deal with this. But I had to lay it aside. I had to forget the past. And I had to walk with Jesus. The best thing that ever happened to me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is not a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Everything become new to me. But let me get back to that. There were some things I had to lay aside. I battled with a lot of things. I knew not long after I got saved, I knew the Lord was dealing with me about the ministry. I knew He was dealing with me about preaching to people, about working with some teenagers. But I said to myself, I told the Lord, I said, I don't think that's what you want from me. I really don't, because first of all, I ain't getting up and talking in front of nobody. There's no way. You can forget that. There ain't no way I'm going to do that. And then I had a job, too. I worked at a paper mill for about 18 years there. And I said, maybe this ain't exactly what you're telling me. But you know what? Within 6 months, he had it all worked out. He worked it out. I was able to get out of that paper mill. And I walked out of there, and I never looked back. I never looked back. I went to Texas. My brother said, why don't you just come out here? You know what I had to do? I had to get away from that past. I had to get away from them so-called friends. I had to get away from that life. I had to get out of town. I went out to Texas. My brother and his wife and family told me, just get you a plane ticket. Let me get you a plane ticket and come out here. I stepped out on faith and I did that. Forgot everything and I went to Texas. I went to Texas and did some things here and there working. Nothing seemed to work out. And I know why now. The Lord already had it worked out anyway. He brought me to Texas for a good reason, for one good reason, find my wife. That's where my wife's from Texas. And I wasn't looking for a wife. But I look back now, and I see how the Lord worked. He had it all planned from the beginning. But anyway, I come out to Texas, and I helped my brother out and did this and that. And I think the day me and him was talking about, I think it was the day I was putting in some applications and we was talking, nothing was working out. And I was telling him, he asked me, he said, brother, what do you want to do, Eli? So I'm telling you, the Lord has called me into the ministry, some type of ministry to preach to the young boys, the kids or something. And as we was talking, his phone rang. And it was, I think it was Brother Jack then. Called looking for somebody, needing somebody to come to Missouri. He said, I got the man for you. I went to Missouri. My brother took me to Missouri. I wish I had took my bags when I went, because when I got there, I knew that's where the Lord wanted me. I went home and packed out, but the Lord worked it all out, and it wasn't long. My wife, we weren't even married at the time, worked it out. She was in the ministry. We got married, and now we got Levi, and the Lord has just been so good. It's just amazing. How the Lord. But let me say this just real quick. You know, I was saying you have to lay aside some weight and some sin. You know, sometimes that weight ain't necessarily sin. It's what that weight can be something that's just hindering you from your walk. And I just want to ask you tonight, what hinders you? What is it that hinders you from your walk with Jesus? Now I know this. Before the Lord called me into the ministry, there were some things that I still wanted to hold on to over here. There were some things that I thought, you know, this ain't that bad. And I'll tell you what it was. I'm not ashamed to tell you. I'm ashamed of it, but I'm not ashamed to tell you. I thought, you know, well, I said, you know, Lord, I quit the drinking, I quit the drug, and I quit this, I quit that. There was something, and I hope I'm not offending anybody, there was something I kept holding on to. And I thought maybe country music was all right. I thought, it's not that bad. I know there's one song that says something about Jesus take the wheel. Thought that was a pretty good song. But what about the song come on after that one? If you'll listen to one of them, if you're like me, you'll probably listen to another one. Because the one after that one will talk about some kind of honky-tonk about leaving your wife or something. I got convicted over that. I got convicted over that. I hadn't listened to country music in 2.5, 3 years, going on 3 years. I hadn't listened to it because we got rid of them. And that's when the Lord said, now I can use you. So what I'm asking you is, what is it that hinders you? Anything. That right, just so you saw, I don't think that was weighing you down. Yeah, it was, because I got convicted over it. So it was weighing me down. Let me say this real quick, and I'll be done. I went to in Atlanta a couple last week, whenever it was, and the pastor took us to a ball game. And it was nice, I guess you could say. It was the AAA ball game. But you know what? I just really didn't feel comfortable there. I didn't feel comfortable there because, one, all I could smell was alcohol. And all I seen was people walking by with alcohol. And then I had to listen to that music. I got a thing, I sit there until I heard that music, I heard that one song, I hear the train a-coming, it's coming around the bend. And I thought, man, And I can't wait to get it back out in the van so we can put some music on, some real music. I don't like that stuff no more. I don't like it. And I told them boys, well, we got back out in the van, I put some music on. I forgot what song it was I put on there. I said, now this is some music, some old hymn, some good old hymn. That's the music. But that like drove me crazy. I said, man, I can't believe I used to do that. What I'm saying is, I'm sure glad the Lord brought me up out of it. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 40, verse 2. It says, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my goings. That's what He did for me. That's what He did for me. He brought me up out of that junk. Let me say this. I don't want to go back to it. He got me out of it. I ain't going back to it. Thank the Lord for saving me. Thank the Lord for saving me. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down of the right hand of the throne of God. That's what I'm looking for. Bible says over there, it says over there in 1 Corinthians 9:24, it talks about he who runs a race, let him run it well. It says run all. You want to run all? You better get rid of some of the weight that's weighing you down. Amen. Get rid of the weight. Get rid of the sin that does so easy beset you. And run the race that's set before you. Run all. Give it all you got until we meet Him in the air. Amen. What a day that'll be. I almost want to sing a song, but I'm not a good singer. I have been known to do that, but I can't sing like the rest of my family. I don't know what happened to me. But it's good to be saved. It is. It is. Again, just let me just ask you, and I'm done. Pastor, you can come on if you want to. What's hindering you tonight? What's keeping you from running the race? What is it that's the weight that's got you, that's weighing you down? The sin that's got you trapped? The sin has surrounded you. You need to get rid of it. Amen. Whatever it is, whatever you get convicted over, it could be a weight. Don't let it hinder your walk with Jesus. Because you'll never know what the Lord has for you until you get rid of that. You get rid of that, walk to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Pastor?